It is such a cool thing to look out from the altar and see a sea of rose as far as the eye can see. So well done, Prince of Peace. You know, the church relaxes her penitential rigor for just a little bit as we mark the midway point of our journey to Bethlehem and beyond to heaven. Purple is cast away for rose. The flowers and the organ make a brief appearance. Today, the Pope would stop, which in Latin the noun form is statio, for the stational mass at St. Peter's, where he would also celebrate Christmas Day Mass. That joyful day is anticipated here with the words of the introit, or entrance antiphon, for today's Gaudete Sunday Mass, which gives the day its name. Gaudete in Domino, iterum dico gaudete. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men, for the Lord is nigh. In the extraordinary form, today we pray, incline thine ear, we beseech thee, O Lord, to our petitions, and by the grace of thy visitation, enlighten the darkness of our minds. Advent is all about light piercing the darkness. And God, Emmanuel, coming to us of his own free will. Hence, the grace of thy visitation. The purification of the mind that was mentioned in the collect, the opening prayer last Sunday, is mentioned again as we ask the Lord to listen to our prayers. Advent is a time of intercession and petition. Now, you know, it's very normal for us to think a lot about family and friends in Thanksgiving during this time. But we also see their needs and sometimes even our poverty of resources to help them. And yet here the church is, and she bids us to rejoice even in the midst of the brokenness of the world, because the church has that sure and certain hope in the fatherly care of Providence. The ordinary form is a bit more wordy today than the concise Latin of the classical Roman Rite. O God, who see how your people faithfully await the feast of the Lord's Nativity, is how the prayer starts out. You know, the older I get and the longer that I have the great grace of the priesthood, I'm more and more convinced that what most people really want in this life is just to be seen. They want to be heard. And when they don't feel seen, when they don't feel heard, it causes problems for them, their heart, their self-esteem, their ability to enter fruitfully into relationships. And so it's a reminder that the church shows us that no matter if not one other single soul in this world sees us or hears us, God always sees. God always hears us. Even the church sees that we're excited and impatient for Christmas. And so we ask for God to see how excited and impatient we are. Enable us to attain the joys of so great a salvation and to celebrate them always with solemn worship and glad rejoicing. Enable us to attain. Once again, the anthropology of grace. God takes our sinful human nature and makes it what the church fathers called capax Dei, capable of God. We are enabled to attain salvation. And that brings us the joy, the glad rejoicing that suffuses the spirit of today's entire celebration. But that seems like a little bit of a contrast with solemn worship, though, doesn't it? I mean, did King David not dance with abandon before the Ark of the Covenant with unbridled happiness, even when his wife made fun of him? Doesn't solemn mean sour and dour and sad and depressing? I mean, shouldn't our worship be, I don't know, more spontaneous and free and not ordered and burdened by the weight of tradition and precedent and custom? Well, our own age tends to think that ceremonial and ritual is just another form of pomp and circumstance that glorifies people rather than God. Right? Or sometimes people come to church and they see these magnificent ceremonies and they say, "Ooh, Father likes it real fancy, don't he?" Right? Is that what we're doing here? I don't think that's the point of what we're doing here. C.S. Lewis on this once commented quite brilliantly, "The modern habit of doing ceremonial things unceremoniously is no proof of humility. Rather, it proves the offender's inability to forget himself in the rite and his readiness to spoil for everyone else the proper pleasure of ritual." Humility demands that we lose ourselves in the worship of God. We lose ourselves in the worship of God as He demands it through the liturgy received by the church, not invented creatively by a committee or any individual person. And when we allow ourselves to enter into that sacred space of worship, then our joy is of divine origin, not human manipulation of emotion. Solemn worship is a reminder that it is not about us, but about God. This collect comes from a scroll used at Mass in the imperial city of Ravenna called the Rotulus and gives us a little bit of an Eastern flavor today to the modern Roman liturgy. The Anglican collect composed for the later 1662 Book of Common Prayer is even wordier than our Ravennite collect for the ordinary form, but it also has its own beauty. O Lord Jesus Christ, You sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Grant that the ministers and stewards of your mysteries may likewise make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found a people acceptable in your sight. The prophets loom large during the Advent season as foreshadowings of Christ. Sometimes I'll have people who will come to me and say, You know, Father, with your Advent Grinchy self, right? Yeah. I'm trying to escape the commercialism of Christmas. How do I celebrate Advent better? And sometimes I'll say, well, when was the last time you read any of the prophets of the Old Testament? And sometimes they're like, I've never read any of the prophets of the Old Testament. Well, there you go. There's your project for Advent, right? There's something amazing about reading the prophets and their own adventure stories, right? They certainly did not lead boring lives by any stretch of the imagination, right? But that yearning for a world to be made whole again is something that goes through every single one of the major and the minor prophets of the Old Testament. They are, as much as the gospel and the epistles, manifestations, epiphanies of the divine wisdom that changes lives. The preaching of repentance turns the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. We're reminded, even on this joyful day, remember how I talked about how the cross cast its shadow even on the crib? In Advent, we're never far away from the cross. We're reminded on this joyful day of the original kerygma, the message of Jesus. Repent and believe the good news. The fasting, mortification, and penance of Advent is not just an endurance test, but is ordered to the virtue of charity. St. Leo the Great was the Pope of Rome from 440 to 461 and most likely prayed the same collect as the extraordinary form does today. And for that reason, he preached words that amidst our festive Gaudete celebrations remind us of the why Advent is a penitential season. What can be more salutary for us than fasting, by the practice of which we draw nearer to God and, standing fast against the devil, defeat the vices that lead us astray? For fasting was ever the food of virtue. We always think of fasting as, I'm hungry, I don't have anything in my stomach, right? And here, Pope St. Leo is telling us that fasting actually is nourishment for virtue. And he goes on, from abstinence there arise chaste thoughts, just decisions, salutary counsels. Through voluntary suffering, the flesh dies to concupiscences, the spirit waxes strong in virtue. But as the salvation of our souls is not gained solely by fasting, let us fill up what is wanting in our fasting with almsgiving to the poor. Let us give to virtue what we take from pleasure. Let abstinence of those who fast be the dinner of the poor. I read that line of St. Leo the Great this week, and it stopped me right in my tracks. I had to read it over and over again. I put it in bold here in the text of my notes, even. Let abstinence of those who fast be the dinner of the poor. You know, often when we think about Christmas, we think about giving gifts to people we love, right? To thank them for being in our lives. And that is always and everywhere, and especially during the holidays, a really good thing to do. But Advent is also about giving to those who are in need, to help them feel the warmth of family and hearth, lest the divine wisdom of the gospel not be heard by the poor, who who are, after all, his favorites.